Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
Well, here we are in my office, and I'm not going to be this far away from you. I'm coming in closer, coming into the light. Hey, listen, this space has been so amazing over the years. I've had such great encounters with Jesus here, and I've had such great encounters with the Lord ministering to other people here. It's like that couch over there, that's a front row seat on some miracles, and it's been amazing over the years. And so I wanted to just bring you into this space, give you an opportunity to see it if you haven't been up here, but also to just let us connect with the kindness of Jesus. That's really at the heart of what I want to share here. And so I have a passage that I'd like to read out of Titus. This has been a life verse for me. Ever since I came here to Woodland Park, specifically to work with this ministry, to be a part of this fellowship back in 1996. And so the Lord gave me this passage not only to encourage my own heart, but to also help me understand His attitudes towards people, His opinions towards people. Not only people who do not know Him, like the unsaved, the lost, but also those of us who have accepted Jesus into our life, and we've been on an ongoing journey of relationship with Jesus over the years, and we've had our fits and our starts and our ups and our downs and our, you know, nearness and our far away, you know, seasons of not really experiencing much. All of that kind of like our struggles, our immaturity, our brokenness, all of that mashed up into what we could call like our spiritual journey with Jesus. I just want you to know that His attitudes towards you, whether you're new to the idea of coming into faith with Jesus, or maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a lot of years, His attitudes are the same. His opinions of you are the same, and His care for you is the same. So let me read this. This is out of Titus. So Titus 3, Titus doesn't get a lot of airtime. A lot of other amazing passages in the Bible tend to be the most like, well-known. Placards on the wall, magnets on your refrigerator. This one, if I could help you capture the heart of this, you're going to see some incredible things here. So Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. We too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, when His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He richly poured into us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let us pray. I just want to pray again. It's just like, God, this word is deep. It's encapsulating so much. So would you let it be like a seed that is planted in good soil? And I pray that it would take root, and the roots would go deep into your love, and that this would bear fruit that remains for not only the rest of our life, but through generations. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Titus 3, what a passage. When the kindness of God appeared, when his loving kindness appeared, he saved us. Now we know his name is Jesus. And Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And ever since the beginning of the year, I've peppered in these teachings that have kind of oriented us towards this question, do you worship a Christ-like God? You know, we've got Jesus on display here. And Jesus is the portrait of God. Like Jesus and his life and everything that he's about represents accurately the heart of God. And God is immutable, which means he does not mutate. So the God who was and is to come is one and the same. He does not change. And so Jesus is the kindness of God. Jesus is the loving kindness of God. And so when he came, he saved us. Not on merit, not on the basis of our righteous living, not on the good things that we have done, but on his mercy. He saved us according to his mercy. And this idea about the kindness of God meeting us, I think, is so real fresh for us right now. I just want to just, man, if I could just like give you an infusion of the kindness of Jesus right now, I would just bless you with the kindness of Jesus to know it. Like if anything happens today out of this Aspen Grove video, it would be that you have been like touched by the kindness of God, that the kindness of Jesus settles deep into your understanding. Like he actually is kind to me. And so I want to speak to that. And I also want to speak to this notion that his salvation came through the regeneration and renewal of his Holy Spirit, which he poured out generously into our lives. Wow. So that's how kind he is, right? When we were in our disobedience, when we were deceived, when we were enslaved. Now, all of that stuff like happens, you know, like, and again, whether you know Jesus or not, maybe you've been walking with the Lord for many, many years and you find yourself struggling in some place in your heart where you're like, I feel like I've been deceived, or I'm living like in agreement with some false belief. Or maybe you're having these aha moments where you're like, actually, I'm like being disobedient right now. Or maybe there's a struggle with like surrendering to the lordship of Jesus. That might actually be the way that disobedience is manifesting itself in your life. All of these things are like part of the swirl, right? And we go in and out of these seasons where we're like, yeah, I'm really rocking this thing. Or we're like feeling defeated, right? Let me just remind you, his attitude towards you, even in the struggle, is the same. Because he recognizes that the deception was not of your making. That the enslavement was not your choice. You were born into it, and you have been victimized by an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And Jesus, in his kindness, came to save you, and he came to regenerate that which was lost, that which was dead in you. He came to renew that which had been broken, that which had been lost, that which had been stolen. So the regeneration and the renewal that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, that is the remedy for the deception, for the enslavement, for the hatred, for the envy, for the strife, for the malice. You have to know that we're surrounded. I mean, talk about a swirl. I mean, this world has really been amped up with its level of hatred, its level of malice, its level of envy, its level of strife. We see it all over the place. We hear it. It's hitting us in the face. Every time we open up our tablet or our phone and we're on social media, it's like, yeah, you don't have to go very far to see all of that. And that's part of the victimization of the enemy. Like, he is tormenting people left and right, and they are absolutely, we are absolutely prone to just yielding into that mess, right? But Jesus, in his kindness, comes. How many of you know that it's the kindness of God that leads us to what? To repentance. And you know that word repentance is a really powerful word. It gets a bad rap if it's only used to like heap shame and judgment on you. But you have to know that it's coming from the place of the story of the prodigal son. Here's this young man. We know the story. Raised in a rich home. A father who loved him. A brother who was there with him. He was given so much. And he chose to like sell it all, to abandon it all, and just go out and live, well, everything that we've just read here in Titus, like a disobedient life, a life that was like marked by pleasure and lust and all of these things. And all of a sudden, the depletion of his life just became so apparent as he's living in a pig pen, thinking, okay, my servants, my father's servants have it better than I do right now. Maybe I'll go home and become one of his servants. And so this idea about him running home or turning home is the word where we get repentance. So it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. The kindness of God on display in the mercy of Jesus. The kindness of God on display in the mercy of your community of faith. The kindness of God on display is what orients our hearts back home. So running home and the word repentance are one and the same. And it's the kindness of God that leads us to that. Because, you know, it's one of those deals where, my goodness, the victimization of Satan and his associates on planet Earth and in our lives has its impact. It's traumatic. It's devastating, tremendous loss, tremendous suffering. And it's the kindness of God that would invite us home, invite us in to a place where we can experience renewal, where we can experience a regeneration of our lives, where we can get our hearts back, actually. And so the kindness of Jesus. I just want to just point to that with earnest here today. I just want to remind you that it's the kindness of God that leads us home. And the kindness of God is not weakness. You know, I used to work with kids, Tiffany and I, we worked with kids who were from the streets. I mean, these were repeat offenders. These were wards of the state. These were kids who had been in and out of foster care, and the foster care system could not support them, and so they found themselves incarcerated. Whether they had committed crimes or not, they just did not have a home. They just did not have a place. And so they would be in this program, and they were surrounded by all of these other kids and all of us staff who were just trying to be like, not only like guardians of their lives, I mean, because these were all minors between the ages of 14 and 18 years old, but we actually had like our role, our job was house parent. So there was family language around it. And so there was a sense of like, this is your family now, this is your home. But you have to know, of course, that that never actually like substituted the real family, never actually substituted a real home. But for many, it was the closest thing that they had ever experienced. But one of the things that was very common in that environment was the idea that kindness was weakness. That if you showed kindness, you were showing weakness. And it was obviously a necessity, a coping mechanism, this tough exterior. And really what that was a protection. And so to show kindness in that environment was interpreted as I'm being weak. And therefore I may be taken advantage of. And someone may violate me in some way. And so that being said, we live in this harsh world where kindness can feel like weakness. where kindness can actually be like interpreted as a lesser form of superiority or dominance. But you have to know that Jesus Christ is supreme over all things, that he has been raised to the place of authority, seated at the right hand of the Father, that he has all rule and reign over everything in the universe, seen and unseen, in the realm of the spirit and in the realm of planet Earth and humanity, that Jesus is supreme, which means he is dominant. He is the strongest. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He is supreme over all things. And he's kind. Kindness is not a weakness. To show kindness is not weak. To show kindness is actually strength. To show kindness in the face of persecution, in the face of hardship, in the face of suffering, that is strength. And that is a strength that you, in and of yourself, could not muster. But it's the Holy Spirit who was poured into your life generously. And we know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the byproduct of the Holy Spirit, of course, is love and joy and peace, and kindness, and on and on and on. The kindness of God. I'm calling us to not only remember the kindness of Jesus in our lives, but also to accept the gift of the Holy Spirit who has been generously poured out into us. Generously poured out with abundance, ongoing, continually. And that kindness is a way for you to not only express the love of Jesus to other people, but kindness is in fact the way home. And so in our kindness, we're inviting people to come home. In our kindness towards other people, we're being a place of safety for them. And likewise, the kindness of God, it's inviting you home. It's inviting you home. So I just want to encourage us with these words today. Let the kindness of Jesus be on display through your life, but also for you to be the recipient of God's love and his kindness. You know, I find it very, well, it's actually very sad, but it's real, that most people that I've ministered with and for over the years, and myself included, in many, many seasons of my life, I have been the least kind to myself. I have often put myself in this like sort of category of comparison, and I've experienced a harshness towards myself. I've not always been kind to my own heart. And you have to know that you're going to treat the people around you the way you treat yourself. So for you to receive the kindness of Jesus makes way for you to actually begin to accept the things about your life with a different attitude and a different kindness. Like, can you bless yourself? I know that sounds very strange, but it's one of these things where it's like, I mean, the psalmist spoke to his own soul. And so wouldn't it be interesting if we were able to speak to ourselves the kind of self-talk that was actually a blessing and not a curse, that was actually rooted in kindness? You see, in the comparison grid, we're always looking at, like, did I measure up? Did I act the way that I should have acted? What did I do wrong? And when you make mistakes, how do you treat yourself? You know that God doesn't do that, in the sense of, like, it's not based on your acts of righteousness, your good merit, that he saved you, but on his mercy. So his mercy is the example of how not only does he treat us, but how we can treat ourselves and how we can treat other people as the result of experiencing his kindness and his mercy. So it's a challenge. I realize that. And it's something that we can be growing in. And so I just wanted to bring this up. Just let this kind of like be presented to you in a way where the kindness of God leads us home. The kindness of God, through your life, brings an invitation for others to come home. But the kindness that you offer yourself is also a way for you to experience a coming home. A coming home to the place that Jesus resides, which is your heart. And so with that, I'd love to close and then just move us into some prompts after a break here. God bless you all. It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.